Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Crawford. Belt is another one. Longoria. You're stuck,
you're stuck with those contracts,
right? Okay, you're stuck with those contracts. Well, so what he's done is gone through every other position and tried to shuffle every other position that he possibly can. He also tried to find a little bit of help for Panic when Panic was around. That became Solano, who supplanted Panic, and you went out and got Jeanette, who's better than Panic. So he went through all of these other positions. He helped Buster Posey by getting Stephen Vogt.
Yes, he did. There's no question about
that. He helped that position by getting a left-handed catcher that could play some other positions too. That's a pretty decent stick.
He can play.
You can throw him out there.
Yeah,
you can throw him out there.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, play other positions is probably strong, but you could throw them out there, and they have thrown them out there.
Yes, they have.
But point being, you got a complimentary piece that just offsets what Buster Posey has been for the good part of the last couple of years, which is a guy that's not a carrier anymore.
Right, and once you get to the idea of a new core and finding it, the question is, are some of those core players...
Yastrzemski's and Dickerson. See,
they're not core.
I don't think they are.
I think the core...
But the core might be Joey Bart. It might
they're
be
in Richmond
Ramos.
Right now.
It might be guys like that.
Robin, are you there in San Jose? 888-957-9570. Do we got Robin still there? Robin, welcome into 95.7 The Game.
This is Robin from San Francisco, JD. Oh. How are you doing?
Hello, Robin. How are you?
I'm all right. What it do, fellas? Listen, I have a question. Who determines how many original, authentic fans are in attendance at Oracle Park? Now, I'm a sociology major, so this conversation would go extend beyond the time. So I know the answer to that, you know, given the, you know, where San Francisco is located, the transformation of society and things like that. But I'm just really curious as how these callers and others that announcers that I've heard speak on how do they know who are original Giants fans. How do you know 15,000 are only original out of 30? I grew up near Candlestick Park. My mother, God bless her soul, she'll brag to this day if she was alive that she was one out of 10 of the fans in the Giants stands back in the day. So I really like to get an answer from that.
Because, sure. I can help you.
The A's fans, they don't know who's real and who's not. So shoot your best shot, and I'd like to hear from you. Much respect to you guys, and enjoy your day, okay?
Sure. Thanks, Robin.
Thanks,
appreciate
Robin.
The call.
Well,
yeah, one,
you got a good point.
You know, when this team in May was dead on arrival, stunk on toast.
Right.
How many fannies were in the seats?
Well, how many fannies were in the seats versus how many tickets were sold?
Are completely different. Those are two different
numbers.
They're
two different things, but it's also, whenever you have this Giants-A's conversation, and it's fair to point out, the Giants' bad crowds are 32,000.
I don't remember. Well, there were some lighter than, it appeared to me, lighter than 32,000 on a bad crowd.
And I don't know what the numbers were.
But the other side of that is?
Okay, 28,000.
The TV number. The TV number has gone down considerably.
And that's fair.
Because that's an easy thing. That's an easy metric right there, right?
Totally with you.
Because I didn't have to work a long day, go all the way home, get my family, get on BART, go into the city.
Are you interested?
You know what?
Flip the game on.
Flip the game on. And that number has gone down considerably.
It was also probably, I mean, it was at an unbelievable high, though, too. It was at an unsustainable high.
And I think that was one of the caller's points was, you know, you've got to, you know, when they're winning, you got everybody.
But my point is the core number is still, the core number, like the hardcore number is still 4 or 5 to 1.
Wow, you think it's that?
I do.
Slanted?
I do.
See, I think I live in A's country, kind of where I live. Got a lot of my buddies are A's fans. And so maybe I'm skewed by my immediacy of my access to A's fan. I just got asked to go to the A's game a couple of nights ago.
Yeah.
Two nights ago, my buddy asked me to go
Good
to the
time.
A's game. And
you got jobbed out of going a couple weeks ago,
didn't
you?
I got jobbed out of going a couple of weeks ago. I didn't go the other night. I had to work a game a couple of Fridays ago with Dave Stewart.
Yeah, that's not the same.
And no, but I did go and see some of my buddies who were in the good seats. So I went and sat in the good seats. One of the ones right behind home plate.
Diamond
seats, yeah. So I went and hung out down there. So in my world, I don't see it as 4 or 5 to 1, but maybe I'm off.
4 to 1 is probably about where I'd put it.
Oh, wow. That's really slanted.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
And again, that's not a knock on anybody. It's just math. Like, I'm not ripping anybody for it or saying somebody's not
right.
more genuine than the other or more loud or more into their team.
Right.
It's just math.
I hear you. I get it. 888-957-9570.
And the math was different 30 years ago. Maybe. You know, I don't know.
When
a lot of people would tell you that. A lot of people would tell you, well, 30 years ago, the math was different. Well, okay. It's been 30 years.
Yeah. How about this, though? 89, both teams were good. Was this a split Bay Area, or was this a A's town? A's were drawing 40,000 a night at that same crappy Coliseum.
Yes, they were.
And Dave Stewart walking on the bump against Roger Clemens, I remember buying a ticket, sitting in the upper deck watching those two guys sling it out.
Yeah.
Back in those days. I know a number of guys, and men and women your age.
Correct.
Who are A's fans.
And 49ers.
49ers
fans. Of course.
Fans.
My buddies are, because the Raiders were gone. Forget them.
Yep.
The Raiders were not a Bay Area team.
No, they were not. There was one Bay Area team.
In my youth. When I was a kid.
Yep.
And I think I was in high school by the time the Raiders came back.
That might make sense. And then you had to rekindle that flame, and it didn't really rekindle for a number of people. It's unfortunate.
And the 49ers were winning championships from the moment the Raiders – well, they did before the Raiders left. But all the time the Raiders were gone, all the Niners did was win championships. So if you were a kid coming up looking to get on a bandwagon, there you go.
And you as a kid were a Will Clark guy. Now, Will Clark was an intense competitor, but the Bash Brothers were entertainment.
I always tell this story. I tell this story, and it's funny. And look, now that I cover it, it's, you know, whatever. It's objective. It's whatever. But I rooted for both teams. I rooted for the Giants and the A's.
You're a split hat
guy. As a kid.
You're a split hat guy.
I didn't want to wear it, but I had it as a commemorative.
Okay, I'd wear it, but go ahead.
I didn't want to wear it. But I liked the National League. Style. I was more of a National League guy. But I'll tell you another thing. This is the most 8-year-old kid thing ever, right? In 1989.
Right.
Okay. I go to a Giants game in May.
Mm-hmm.
I go to an A's game, I think, in July. Okay. The Giants win the day that I go.
Mm-hmm.
They played the Cardinals. They win the day that I go. The A's lose the night that I go. Right?
Interesting.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
And then they wind up playing later that year. Okay, they both make the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the A's are playing the Blue Jays, the Giants are playing the Cubs, right? Well, I'm rooting for both of them, right? Because it's 8-year-old JD rooting for
sure.
both of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I want to be in the World Series. It's the first year I'm getting to know and love baseball, get to the World Series. So I root for them both to win. So they both make the World Series. Who am I going to root for in the World Series?
Tough call.
Who am I going to root for? Well, it was twofold. It was one, I remembered the Giants giving me the good feeling of a win.
Yep.
It was, I like the National League, I think, more than the American League. And you know what the third thing was?
What?
The A's were the heavy favorite. So I was rooting for the underdog, too. So the 89 World Series actually split. That was where I veered one direction. You know,
we know exactly where it is.
It forced me to split one way or the other.
Now, was it you're going for the underdog guy, or I'm going to stick it to the favorite guy? I'm the
no,
hey,
everyone
else
is
on
the
you
I wasn't that guy yet.
You're that guy now.
I developed into that guy. And maybe I was
and
as
maybe,
an 8-year-old.
Maybe that was the butt of you being
but it was
the
more,
sticking it to
and,
the good guy.
And you
guy.
Know what? As I continued to grow up, I still rooted for the A's. Like as the American League team.
Yeah, like right now.
And you know what's
you
funny?
Don't root against
like
them.
My mom will tell the story. Because you know, the World Series ended right before Halloween, right?
Right.
So that year, that eight year old year,
yeah.
Will Clark was the guy, right?
Right.
So I was going to be Will Clark for Halloween. When the Giants lost the World
That's
Series,
awesome.
Took the Will Clark costume, I was hacked off. The A's win the World Series. Took the Wild Card costume and put it in like a bag, put it in a garbage bag. Like, my mom goes, you're not, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, I was like, that's how hacked off I was. I wasn't going to be Will Clark again.
Exactly.
But you know what? I was Will Clark.
I'm going to show you Will Clark. I will never wear your crappy garbage again. The end. A little more Giants at the bottom of the hour. Alex Pavlovich, a Giants insider for NBC Sports Bay Area, is going to join us. John Dickinson, Jim Cozumore. Hey, we're out here at Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill. Stop on by. We'll tell you about it in just a couple of seconds. They've got everything you need for your indoor kitchens, for your outdoor kitchens. And right in front of us, they got the Lynx outdoor kitchen guy grilling up some meat. I saw him seasoning his meat moments ago, and he's got the grill Ooh. Up, and he's flipping right now in front of us.
Love it.
I'm going to grab some in just a couple. As soon as it's done, I'm going to taste it. You can, too. Come on out to Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill, right off 680. If you're heading north, look to the right. You can't miss us. We got our 95.7 The Game tents up. You can stop by, say hi, play some Papa Shot. Later on, giving away Raider tickets, John.
Raider tickets, November 3rd against the Lions, as you call them, the Lie Downs.
The Lie Downs.
Your Chicago comes out in you. Your bear comes out in you.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. I do not like the Lie Downs. All that and more, JD and Koza, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game, live from Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill. Here's John Dickinson and Jim Cozumore.
Glorious, glorious day in Pleasant Hill at Friedman's Appliance. Stop by, say hi. Look at the 95.7 The Game tents. Grab some cool gear. Do a little Papa Shot. And then head on into the store where you see some of the best kitchen stuff you are ever going to see. 25,000 square feet of kitchen materials there for you. Inside, outside. You got an outdoor kitchen? This is Northern California, JD. Everyone's got an outdoor kitchen, right?
Oh, yeah.
Outdoor kitchen. You're digging it. You want to put in your pizza oven? We got you covered. We got a guy out here from the Lynx side. He is he's cooking up the meat.
He's grilling.
I mean, he's grilling. He's getting it going. So we'll get into that a little bit later on.
It smells like summer.
It does smell like summer, doesn't it? That's a good call, John. It does smell like summer. You know, I'm preparing for Alex Pavlovich, who's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. He's the Giants insider over at NBC Sports Bay Area. He's got an interesting piece about some facts about the game last night and how baseball has changed tremendously. And in his piece today, it has to do with the baseball itself as part of it. We'll get into that. I can't wait to talk to him at the bottom of the hour. He's got some really good stuff. But we got phone calls to get to. 888-957-9570. You can hit us on the Chilton Autobody text line. John, monitoring that by the moment, 95795. Any good stuff on the text line?
Question about Farhan and Bochy being GM and manager of the year, which I don't think we're quite there yet.
Okay.
I think you'd have to get it. Look, if the Giants somehow get in the playoffs, if the Giants somehow win 88, 89 games, get in a wild card, then Bochy should be manager of the year. There's no question.
Okay.
But they're still a ways away from that, and they're going to have to get very hot if they're going to reach that level. Also, 707, remember the A's basically saved the Giants with the territory that they allowed them to to have, but the Giants haven't returned the favor with helping them build a new stadium now.
Yeah, I was one at the time who was all for the A's building a stadium in San Jose and moving down there. I'd have been fine with it.
And now, yeah, I mean, the Giants now, who,
like, it's not going to happen.
Who cares?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
The territorial rights thing is not going to happen, but the A's are still working. They're working on their own thing.
Yeah, they're working on their own thing.
They don't need the Giants for that.
No, and I hope that they get it done, quite frankly, because I like two baseball teams in town.
It'd be very cool.
Yeah, I hope it happens. I hope I'm around to see it and enjoy it.
It would be very cool.
But we've got people who are on the phone lines geared up and ready to enjoy things, like Bill in Oakland at 888-957-9570. Hi, Bill. Welcome into 95.7 The Game, JD and Coz on a Saturday.
First of all, I want to thank Friedman's for a nice refrigerator I got.
Way to go.
And, but I would like to say I'm a longtime A's fan, and I'm one of the A's fans that I root for the A's and whoever plays the Giants.
There you go. I like those kind of fans. That's good.
Right. I think an angel gets its wings every time the Giants lose. you know, I think if you compare the fans and determining what was real fans and what are unreal fans, I think it's really hard. And I think it's probably unfair to both teams. I can go to a Giants game and half the fans are out there sucking $20 beers and having sushi, and I can make fun of them, and they can make fun of the A's when they only have 11,000. It's probably unfair. If the A's had a new stadium, they draw more, whatever. I think what you do see out here a lot is a lot more kids wearing Chapman and Olsen shirts than you ever did in the last 10 years. And part of the reason is the Giants are barely over 500, and the A's are 16, 18 games over 500. I do laugh when everybody's excited about the Giants contesting for a wild card, and I believe there are four teams ahead of them, maybe five, and probably three or four of those teams are outwardly superior to them. So, you know, I think the A's are in a race for the wild card. Too bad they got Houston in there. The Giants are going to have to get past the Dodgers because they ain't going to the wild card, and that isn't going to happen. So I think it's okay to have a rivalry, and it's okay to root against the other team. And I wish the A's got a little bit fairer storyline from some of the press, but, you know, that's not going to happen. So you just kind of live with it. The A's are the underdog always. They didn't used to be. Certainly in 89 they weren't. And in 72, 73, and 74, when I was a young man, they were the cool team, and the Giants were just this kind of stagnant, old-fashioned team.
Yep, that's so true.
It's a pendulum. You look at the Giants now, and without Farhan, who I believe is an A's and Dodger guy, the Giants would probably be 25 games under 500. Farhan's smart. The question will be, will the owners let him do what he wants to do? And I don't think they let Sabian do what he wants to, which is get rid of stars like Bill Walsh did a year ahead of when they should have gotten him instead of a year after or 2 years after. They're still stuck with some big contracts like Crawford and those guys, you know?
That's true. That you're absolutely right. Good call. I appreciate it, Bill. Thank you very much for the insights.
A lot of good points.
There are a ton of good things in there. It is a pendulum that swings, and right now it's swinging way in favor of the Giants.
Yeah, and well, in terms of the look, could it flip back in 30 years? Because we're talking. Sure, if the A's build a ballpark and win a bunch of championships, and Matt Chapman and Matt Olson play with the A's for the next 10 years, I think it could eventually 30 years from now flip back, but it's not going to happen overnight, and it certainly isn't going to happen just because a ballpark gets built in 2022 or 24 or whenever.
Fair enough.
It ain't going to flip instantaneously.
No, it is not. That is true. Let's grab ourselves our next guest on the dial pad guest line as Alex Pavlovich. Is he in Phoenix right now? I think he is in Phoenix. Alex Pavlovich covers the Giants for NBC Sports Bay Area. Another interesting piece over at the website, including about last night's game where Mike Yastrzemski hit three home runs, and he points out he became the third rookie in the last week to accomplish that feat. Alex, welcome into 95.7 The Game. I'm Jim Cozumore along with JD. How's it going there, Alex?
Good. How are you guys?
Very well. Third rookie in the last week to hit three home runs in a game. Is this a video game that you're watching or Major League Baseball right now? You have a nice piece about the ball this year as well on the website.
Yeah, last night was one of those nights. And I mean, clearly I've been covering these games all year, and I've seen what's going on. And I've had pitchers hand me a baseball from last year and one from this year and say, look, it's changed. But I think last night was really glaring. I mean, they were one home run away from tying the MLB record, which was set 2 months ago. And like you said, three rookies in the last week to take nothing away from any of these players. And, excuse me, to take nothing away from Yaz and anybody else. But you just see the way the game is played now. And it's just weird. I don't think it's good for baseball. I think they're going to have to fix something eventually. But the good news for the Giants is they have some better power hitters right now. But, yeah, it was just one of those games where, you know, you kind of felt like even there in the last inning that the Diamondbacks were going to hit another one because any ball that got up in the air was just shooting out of there, and they just kind of look weird from the press box. I mean, it just looks like everything is just kind of launched from home plate.
Alex, let's get into what may be what may be able to be translated into success next year for this team a little bit, and I guess I'll phrase it this way: is it more that a guy like Mike Yastrzemski is playing himself into a role where you know he's going to be the same player next year, or is there a confidence that should be there because Farhan Zaidi has shown that if Mike Yastrzemski does struggle next year, he'll be able to go find the next Mike Yastrzemski, and the good teams and the teams that operate the way that, that Farhan wants this thing to operate will continue to find the Mike Yastrzemski of a given year.
Yeah, to me it's both. I mean, I think Mike is a good player, and you know, I think he is a I don't know what he's going to be long-term, but I think he is part of the long-term. It doesn't look like a fluke to me. I mean, you look at the at-bats he has, and you look at his swing and the way he runs and plays defense. He's just a good player. I don't know if he's going to be – he has 28 homers across two levels this year. I don't know if he's going to be hitting 25 or 30 for him the next couple of years. But, I mean, this is a guy who you can put in there and count on him being a two-win player maybe above that. So, yeah, I think that is a big part. And then, like you said, I mean, Farhan, he went and got this guy. He liked him. He liked him from the beginning. He liked Donovan Solano. He was right about him. He liked Alex Dickerson. He was right about him. And I even look at some of the other guys they got who they couldn't keep in the organization. They wanted to take a look at Hanser Alberto, who's had a good year for the Orioles, was in camp for a couple of days, and Solano ended up getting that job. Tom Murphy was somebody they really liked as a catcher, and they couldn't keep him on the roster, but his had a good year for the Mariners. Obviously, he lost that spot because Stephen Vogt was there, and we've seen what Vogt has done. So, yeah, if I'm a Giants fan, I mean, my biggest thing going forward right now and the biggest positive is that, you know, whether it's just Farhan or the guys he has brought in, some of the scouts or a combination of everything they've done, they have really shown an ability this year to find guys who can hit, and that's huge for this team.
Alex Pavlovich joining us on 95.7 The Game. Alex does a great job as the Giants insider on NBC Sports Bay Area. Giants and Diamondbacks right now. So is the, you know, with all this churn going on, with the fact that they've caught a little fire recently, they've been streaky, no question, 2.5 out of the playoff chase. Is it out of the wild card? Is there a level of enthusiasm for that in the clubhouse, or is that still a far-fetched belief that the Giants could actually be in the discussion for a wild card spot?
I think somewhere in the middle. I think, you know, this is a team that got back into it about a month ago and got close, and they really haven't gotten any closer than that, but they haven't gotten any further away. So they basically been right there, and it's certainly 2.5 is better than 4.5 where they were a couple days ago. But I think until they actually get in one of those spots, maybe it's not as real. But at the same time, you know, while they're still this close, I mean, it's going to be a discussion point and something that drives them. And so I do think they're just kind of going along right now and chugging along and trying to get to September, and they'll see where they're at and they'll see what they need to do with certain guys. But, you know, they've done a nice job, even though they had a little bit of a rough patch about a week, 10 days ago, of just kind of keeping, you know, within shouting distance of everybody and putting themselves in a position, as they've done, where if you have a good weekend like they seem to be having right now, you're right there again.
Alex, what should fans expect from Logan Webb tonight? I know we were talking yesterday, and I said, hey, you think we're going to see Logan Webb? And you said maybe tomorrow. Well, here we are. He's going to make the start tonight. What do you think of what should people expect from Logan Webb?
Yeah, you know, the stuff is really good. It's a mid-90s fastball, a good hard-breaking ball, and it's something that I think ultimately is going to work up here, and they really like him and like his mentality. You know, it is their top pitching prospect. I would be a little bit hesitant just because of what we saw last night to take anything away from his start today. I mean, short of him going out there and dominating, if he does that, then you feel pretty good about it. But I talked to Logan after the game last night, and I said, hey, there's not 12 home runs in every game, so don't worry about it. Start tomorrow, and he was kind of like, yeah, I watched what just happened. So, you know, it's a different kind of baseball right now, and I think so I wouldn't really put too much on the start one way or the other, and it probably is a one-start cameo for him given where they are in the rotation. But certainly a young kid, the youngest one to start for the Giants since Bumgarner a decade ago, and somebody who has the stuff and mentality to be a frontline starter, and they've always liked him. So I think he's probably still a little bit away, but it'll be fun tonight. I mean, just sit back and watch. This is somebody who I think is going to be a big part of what they do the next half decade.
And if Logan Webb's going to be a one start and then he gets sent out guy, that would leave Tyler Beedy still in to make his next start. Kind of where are they at with Beedy now overall as he's struggled a little bit more recently?
Yeah, it's a little bit unclear right now just because, you know, they did tell us he was going to start and then we saw what Derek Rodriguez did. But Tyler, he took BP with the starters yesterday. He is still here, and obviously that wouldn't be the case if they felt like they needed that spot for a bullpen guy or somebody else. So it does seem like he's going to start one of those games against the Cubs, and I think they'll go from there. I mean, the one interesting thing about this rotation is you basically have two guys who are set, and after that it's a little bit of start by start. So they'll give Derek another one, and I think if Logan goes out and pitches really well tonight, I mean, you put that in the conversation. Sean Anderson should be ready in a couple days. So it really is basically week by week and a little bit less than that at times. But for now, Beedy is still in the rotation.
Alex Pavlovich joining us on 95.7 The Game. Staying on Logan Webb, I think you had a piece on him when he was coming off the PED suspension. What did he learn from that experience? And do you look at, you know, how do the Giants look at him as a prospect after he went through that?
Well, I don't think they look at him any differently, really, because, he's right here. So I think he's right where they thought he was going to be all along. For him, it's a tough one, and we talked to him yesterday, and, you never really know with some of these situations. And we've seen over and over again, guys, when this happens, they come out and say, I don't know what happened. And Logan's statement originally was one of the stronger ones I've ever read. And he was adamant at the time that he has no idea what happened. I've talked to some people who have been teammates of his, friends of his, and they've said from the beginning that Logan really was confused about what happened and has tried hard to find out how, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, but how that substance got in his system. And he told us again yesterday that, he's still hoping for an answer long term. And I can't really say one way or the other. I think looking at him yesterday, certainly this is something that has affected him and something that still is emotional for him talking about. So it's been a rough road for him, but I think, for him, it's a bump in the road, but if he can go out and never has anything like that happen again, then it's just something that's a footnote in your career, and I think that's what they're hoping.
What are you hearing about Jalen Davis? He had three home runs last night for Sacramento. I think he's over 30 now in the minor leagues this year between the Twins organization, some of it at Double A. And since he's come to the Giants and joined Sacramento, what do Giants people think of him, maybe short-term and long-term? I know he's not on the 40-man roster as of now.
Yeah, they like him. I think, I will go back to our first conversation and first question Coase asked me. I mean, he was one of three players in that league last night, I think, to hit three home runs.
Right.
So it's just really hard to evaluate, and I haven't seen a whole lot of him. I saw one clip of one of the home runs last night that looked like a pop-up and just kept floating in Reno. And so I think that's the issue. And certainly this is a guy with a lot of talent and a lot of power and somebody I think we will see maybe in September. At the very least, we'll get a chance next spring and somebody they feel good about. But I think it is hard to evaluate the home run numbers and hard to say, hey, this guy hit three home runs. Let's get him up. Because they've done that with other guys before. I mean, they did that with Gerber earlier this year. They did that with Williamson. And for the most part, aside from Yastrzemski, the power numbers have not translated for the guys who have come from the PCL. So it's really, really hard to look at some of these numbers in that league. I think you look at his talent level, and they really like it. But it's hard to look at somebody hitting three home runs or somebody getting up to 30 for the year and say, hey, this is automatic. We have to get him up here.
Yeah, PCL is tricky to begin with. Do we know, and again, you have a piece at NBCSportsBayArea.com, and there's a reference to the ball and how it is different from last year's baseball. Triple-A, do they use the same ball the major leaguers are using this year, or do they have a different configuration?
Yeah, and they actually switched. I mean, they hadn't been using a big league ball before, so it was a little bit different in the minor leagues, and so that was a big issue for guys early on this year. Was using a major league ball, and some guys had trouble with that, and that's been part of the numbers. I think you look at that league, and basically every team is hitting around 300, and all these guys have ERAs in the 5s, so it is really difficult to judge them.
All right. Well, we appreciate the insights. Go enjoy the desert and have your fun. And hopefully, just because it's more interesting, the Giants can keep on this solid run. Alex, we appreciate it, buddy. Talk to you again soon.
Because it's 110 outside. I'm going to be in my hotel room for the next 2 hours.
Good Lord.
Good talking to you guys.
Thanks, pal. Appreciate it. 110
at 11. It's 41.
It's brutal. Are they an hour ahead of us or not?
They're not now.
They're not now?
No. In the spring and summer, they're not.
Okay.
And then in the fall and the winter, they are.
We fall back. And then we're the same.
We fall back.
We fall back. They don't.
They don't.
They just stay as is.
Exactly.
I'm kind of down with that. Kind of down with staying as is.
Yeah. What did we do with that? We were supposed to vote on that. Or we did vote on that, actually.
We did?
And I don't know what happened.
It's like every other vote we've taken in this state. Was it a state-only thing, or was it just California was going to do this, or was the whole country going to do this?
No, I think we were voting on
keeping it real.
On moving ahead in the spring
and then not doing it that way. Maybe we will. Maybe we'll find out.
So it was basically we were voting. It was to end daylight savings time, but the reality was it was more to implement daylight savings time and then never go back.
Okay. We'll find out in
not
fall.
Not to put Johnny political on you, but
I know. Yeah. That's not even a political question.
I forgot what happened. No, it's not.
Yeah,
I forgot, but we voted on it. So
we did. Yeah, it becomes. So I kind of wish we would just find a time and stick to it.
But I forgot how that came out.
Yeah, it's brutal. Maybe someone knows on the text. Chilton Autobody text line 95795. Are we falling back in the fall, or are we just keeping it as is, keeping it real? You'll have the answer. A lot more to come, because JD and I are a little more than halfway done. And I think Alex gave us a lot of fine bits to go on. But we need to step aside, quick timeout. We are at Friedman's Appliance. People are coming in droves right now. Stop on by. Taste some of the delicious. I'm going over there now. Are you going over there?
You're going
to grab some? We're
going to
go grab some meat. And we'll be back in mere moments. And we'll report on it. Check it out. If you've got things, you got questions about your kitchen, whether it's an indoor kitchen, outdoor kitchen, you got everything you need, working kitchens for you to take a look at here at Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill, JD and Co's on 95.7 The Game.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
Now back to 95.7 The Game, live from Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill. Here's John Dickinson and Jim Cosimore.
Oh, we are feeling good because we just loaded up on... Well, I had the chicken soft taco.
Oh, yeah, same deal. Chicken soft taco.
Delicious. And have you ever had yellow watermelon?
I have, just 2-3 minutes ago.
That's the only time I've ever had it. I didn't even know they made yellow watermelon. Did
tremendous.
You know that?
It was tremendous. I did not.
I'll tell you something. I like to mix fruit in with a lot of my stuff.
Look, if anybody would have known between the two of us, it would have been you.
Yeah, I know.
I've never heard of it.
I know.
And you hadn't.
I had never heard of it. Just had it. We are at Friedman's Appliance, and they have got the kitchens cranking. And now I forgot the name of the one we were at. What was the one we were just at? I got to tell you the name of the one we were at.
For doggone on.
Yeah, exactly. But it was a lovely woman who is grilling up pork and chicken on their grills, and that's the one that's the Warrior Blue grill. Hempton, I believe is the name of it. Hempton. And you got to come out here and check it out. And then we've got others from Lynx, and they're going to be doing cooking demonstrations throughout the day so you can understand how these different grills work, what's going to be the best grill for you, whether it's your outdoor kitchen, maybe you're going to do a new kitchen in your main house, you need to get a good feel for what those are like, then we want you to come on inside Friedman's Appliance and check out all the working kitchens that they have here. And I've been touting this all day because I'm a Thermador guy, that the Thermador stuff is fantastic. Go in there and check it out. In fact, I just went in there a couple of breaks ago, and they have some new designs in the Thermador side. So I'm a fan. I'm a big bad fan.
Yeah,
definitely. I'm a big fan.
Sorry, I'm going through a little business with the studio here.
Okay.
We're good.
Good. We got things going on.
Open lines, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. We had a good baseball show today.
Yeah, we had a lot of good baseball going on today. Mixed in some good football because the Niners are playing on Monday night. They've got the Denver Broncos.
And Cam Inman's going to join us at 12
12:30-ish.
12:30-ish.
Right in the middle of that meaty segment we do at the end of every show.
Which is how we finish. We finish meaty. That is interesting that we'll have him on because we spoke to a Denver reporter earlier today who was telling us about yesterday and what went on at the live scrimmage between the 49ers and the Broncos. And in the midst of that conversation, we found out there was a brawl today that went on between the two teams. Cam is going to join us in the 12:30-ish range, so we'll get the lowdown.
Chilton Autobody text line saying there's also orange watermelon.
Really? Well, was the one we ate orange or yellow?
It was yellow.
It was yellow. But let's call it even the orange. I did not know. I thought it was always pink.
Also, text line chiming in. Guys, I'm pretty sure the vote was to end daylight savings time and stay on standard time, and it did pass. It actually was to go to daylight savings time and then never go back. Because I remember being really confused by that. But now that there's more to it than that. It's one, not being implemented immediately, and I think that there's other federal issues involved.
So here's my question.
They have to be able to prove it to.
In fall, are we falling back, or do I not have to worry about
clocks? We will, but...
So I got to change my watch again.
Yes, but
that sucks.
But according to what we voted on, at some point we would push it forward in the spring and then never go back.
All right.
If that got approved.
Should I move my watch in the fall or not? It's all I care about. Because that is a pain in my butt.
And you're actually going to do it November 3rd, and that's when the game we're giving the tickets away for is.
Look at that. Look at you bringing it back around to the show. Wow. Who's Johnny Broadcaster? John Dickinson is. John Dickinson, Jim Cozumel with you on location at Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill. Stop on by, say hi. Something piqued your interest this week, and that had to do with one Stephen Curry. Is that right? Or Steve Curry, as Nike called him.
Stephen Curry out at a wonderful basketball camp that he put on at the practice facility. It was
in Oaktown.
It was all young girls, ages 9 to 16.
Love it.
All female basketball camp. And Stephen Curry was there, and there were women involved in the business of sports that were there for a panel discussion at the end of this 2-day camp. It was fantastic, and. He met with a very small group of us. I think it was Logan Murdoch was there, and Anthony Slater, and myself, and Janie McCauley. I think there were four people.
Big Janie McCauley fan.
And
she is the five-tool player of all the writers in town.
She is.
Five-tool player.
Absolutely.
Don't say jack of all trades. That's a knock. She's five-tool.
She can do it all.
She can do it all.
She can do it all.
Yes.
And she
does with a smile.
And she's got a nose for news.
Definitely has a nose for news.
She'll dig some stuff up, and she's creative. With her stories. She's good.
I am not out there a lot, but when I am, she's always there.
That's right.
It's unbelievable.
So she was there that day, and she had her two daughters there, too.
There, look at that, bringing it all back around.
So Stephen Curry met with everybody, and he was asked, as we all have to ask Stephen Curry, well, what do you think of the Warriors? People thinking the
Warriors
are not...
How bad are you guys going to suck this year?
People thinking the Warriors are not going to be in the championship business anymore. I mean, hell, I've said it. I think they're going to be a good team, but I've said I don't think they're going to be in the championship business anymore. Well, Stephen Curry was asked about that, and here's what Steph had to say.
Kind of just laugh at it, really. Anybody can say anything about anything, you know, nowadays, and it could pick up steam. So, you know, we've had a lot of support. We've had a lot of criticism along the way. It doesn't change now. It's just what they're saying is different. So it doesn't change how we go about our business.
Laughs about it.
They laugh about it, do they? Do you think they're a lock to be a playoff team next year?
No.
So,
I think they're in. I think if they're healthy, it's kind of it's in some way. I think if they're healthy, Curry and Draymond play 75 games. D'Angelo Russell's plays 75 games. Klay Thompson comes back right around the All-Star break or March 1st. If those things happen, I think they're definitely a playoff team.
Well, I was listening to Steiny Guru Bonte yesterday. Steiny made an interesting point about Clay. He said, I don't want to make this... They were talking about Johnny Cueto. And he said, I don't want to make this directly correlated to Clay Thompson. But the Giants right now are 2.5 games out of a playoff spot. And they think Cueto could pitch in the bigs in September. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, that's getting an extra arm. You're not asking him to go seven innings or anything like that. But if you got a guy every...
Come in and give you five.
Give you five.
Give you
every
four
Every fifth
five.
Day. I know Mad Bum's going to give me a good outing. I'm confident that Samardzija is going to give you a good outing.
Yeah.
Cueto's better than anything you got right now.
Yes.
Right?
Anderson, Beedy.
Yeah.
Menez.
Whatever you want to do.
Logan Webb. Maybe.
Cueto comes in. Maybe Logan Webb. Maybe Logan Murdoch is going to pitch. You never know. Great writer at NBC Sports Bay Area.
He was also there, yeah.
Yes, he was there. Yeah, yes, okay, you did say, yeah. That's why I brought him up. Regardless, Cueto comes back. Now I'm gonna do what Steiny didn't want to do. If you're the Warriors and you're 2.5 out of the playoffs, do you bring back Klay Thompson?
Of course.
You do?
Yeah. Although 2.5 is a little different in the NBA.
Yeah. You don't rush him, do you?
No, they're not, and they won't. They're not going to rush him.
Man.
They're not going to rush.
Because, you know, everyone's talking about Klay coming back.
Some people say, well, December, January.
Oh, my goodness.
I say All-Star break March 1st.
Yes. I'm a March 1st guy.
And I think the All-Star game is actually the 16th, maybe? The schedule just came out. So
yes, because I'm off. Yes, I'm off the 13th through the 19th. Yes.
16th in Chicago.
Hmm, that's funny.
13th to the 19th.
That's funny. I was going to go to Chicago during that time. I might go to Nashville.
Now you might not.
I might not. Exactly. I have one long-standing rule. I am in the NBA for 22 or 3 years.
Never cover an All-Star game?
Wherever the All-Star game is,
where you don't
I go the opposite direction.
Well, what? Okay. So,
Hawaii.
What does that mean if it's in Chicago?
I could go to Hawaii. I could go to... Japan again.
Oh, so it's got to be, yeah.
I got to go the opposite direction.
So you got to go west.
When it was at Golden State, remember it was Golden State like 20 years ago or something?
Right.
My now bride and I went to Tahoe. We went east. So.
That's funny.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
That's my longstanding rule. So the Warrior, guy coming back from an ACL, what are you expecting? It takes a guy, once he comes back...
He's a fast healer, though.
That's fine, but a guy coming back from that injury, and he's a two... He's a both ends of the court player.
By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM at HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Thank you.
Get that in, we'll stay on the clock.
That's a good job. JD & Co's, Friedman's Appliance, Pleasant Hill.
You're talking about Klay.
Klay is a both ends of the floor guy. He's not just a defensive specialist. He's not just a guy who comes down and squeezes the trigger 20 times. He plays both ends of the floor as hard as anyone plays in the game. I think it's a fallacy for people to think, oh, yeah, he's coming back. Pick your date, and I'm picking March 1st. He's coming back March 1st, and he's All-Star Klay. He's not.
No, you're hoping he can work his way into being All-Star Klay maybe over 6 weeks to 2 months.
I think he will be All-Star Klay starting in October of 2020.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's when I think he's All-Star
Klay. I agree with that.
I have no problems with that thought.
And I do like the fact that he gets to come back just for his own game. I like the fact, and it's the same thing with Johnny Cueto, I like the fact that both guys get to come back with about a month plus to go in the season because you can knock that rust off. You can get used to the speed of the game again and ease back into things again. So I love the fact for that following year that both of those guys are going to be able to come back. I think that will be beneficial. But to your point, yeah, I don't think you're getting full-blown Klay Thompson until October of 2020 either. But
so,
again, you hear people say, fast healer, could be back in January. And look, you can't put it past him. I mean, here's my thing. You can't put it past him, but you can't count on it.
Okay.
You can't count on it. And I think what happens from time to time is we count on the best case. If you're counting on the best case scenario, you're already doomed.
Good luck with that.
You're already doomed.
Yeah.
It's like we're doing this a lot with the 49ers right now. We're counting on the best case scenario. We're counting on Garoppolo's going to be healthy and the defensive line's going to be good and Richard Sherman's going to be back the way he was in Seattle. Well, yeah, all of those things are going to have to happen if you're going to win 10 games.
Yep.
And if three or four or five of them don't, you're probably only going to win 8 games.
Or fewer. Depending on which of those things are the ones that don't come up aces for you.
But do you what do you make of just the Curry saying he laughs at the notion that they're not a championship team. Because I'll be honest, he's standing there looking at me, and yeah. I think I feel like he's talking to me because I've said, as much as I do think the Warriors are a playoff team,
if they ain't going to win a title.
I don't think they're winning a title.
I'm not preparing for a parade on down Broadway. Like, I had my lawn chairs.
Well, it wouldn't be down Broadway anyway.
That's a good point.
Which not anymore.
Can I give a real? I'm going to get back to that. Can I give you a quick side take?
Sure.
Warriors going to San Francisco.
Yes.
Emptying Oracle. Any thought to moving your G League team to Oakland to throw a bone to the Bay Area, to the East Bay? Throw a little bone to the East Bay. Nah. We're keeping some ball there. They've played some games there in the past. Nah. Anything? I'm just bringing this up. It just occurred to me last night. I couldn't sleep. Then I'm kicking around ideas. I'm thinking about that. That's how stupid I am. I couldn't sleep, so I'm thinking, you know, if they're going to San Francisco, any thought that maybe you'd move your G League team to Oaktown? Play half your games there?
Yeah. I don't know.
You don't think that would...
I don't know. I think they like the setup they got.
I think they do. They got a great setup. And I've been saying for years I want to go down there and see it. I like it. Seems that everyone loves it. People I've talked to who go down there...
I also don't think you want to... I don't know. I think that could be viewed as kind of a slap.
Oh, really? That would be a bad thing.
Oh, now Oakland's a minor league town?
Oh, good call. Never thought of it that way. See, I looked at it as the Warrior brand still staying in Oakland.
I mean, I don't know. That's interesting. I think some would look at it that way.
888. You know, you can Chilton Auto Body text us on that one. 95795. And if you like that one. Let me give you my... Here's who I think in the Western Conference are playoff teams.
Because I've got a wild theory after you do. I've got a wild theory, and I threw this around a couple of weeks ago. Because we had the show. You know, we did the show.
Yeah.
And then you had the unfortunate...
Oh, I had unfortunate. Yeah, I got into an auto accident.
And then the next day I did the show. It was Johnny Solo.
I'm sorry about that, sir.
No. Come on. No. That's not where I'm going. Where I'm going is I threw out kind of this wild scenario, but I wanted to run it by you because I was going to run it by you when we did the show, and then we ended up not doing the show. But the wild scenario about one way the Warriors may still be light years ahead.
Okay.
Maybe we've been looking at this thing all wrong.
But
go ahead. You give me your spin first.
On the playoff teams?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who's in? Who's a lock?
So if I'm looking at it right now, as of today, the 17th of August, out of the Northwest, I like the Nuggets. I like the Blazers. I like the Jazz. I think they're locks to make the playoffs.
I'm just going to Nuggets, Blazers.
Jazz.
Okay.
Out of the Pacific, Lakers, Clippers. I'll give you the Warriors.
Okay.
Out of the Southwest, I can only give you Rockets and Spurs. So that's my eight.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.